to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 409. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffey is with me, sort of, because he's a little he's a little bit spacey as he's made his way back from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. He is here, but he's not all here, it seems, based on our initial conversations.
Yeah, I've lost my damn mind. Sitting in an airport for roughly 14-ish hours on the way back. I think my brain's still in that lounge with the poor food choices and the uncomfortable chairs. But yeah, I am back. Yeah, for those, I left Sunday night. My plane was at 11 p.m. Oscar stayed the next day. And I remember the whole night he was like, man, I don't know what I was doing on my plane ride. I thought I was leaving the same day as everybody. I don't know. I just kind of messed up. Well, I guess I'll see everybody back home. And then I had a 12-hour layover already scheduled, which is just a garbage layover.
That is.
And then that proceeded to get delayed. And then there was a malfunction or a little maintenance thing that had to happen. So all in all, Oscar beat me home. Despite leaving the next day. And yeah, somewhere in there, I just lost my mind. And plus I haven't been doing much drinking lately, and Brazil, that kind of reversed for the days down there. So I think some fun and sun and, lots of originals, I've lost my damn mind, but I'm trying to correct that. I just feel off. I just feel, a bit sort of out of it and off. And, I am glad, though, that there is no UFC this week.
That's
so
right.
So I have a few more days I could try to gather my head and see if I can come back to normal. Normal, air quote normal. For all those, I know this doesn't really work well in podcasts. I'm doing the normal with air quotes. But here we are. Here we are.
Well, I did want to ask you about it because I know it's a work trip, but there is something about Rio de Janeiro, right? I mean, the hotels are right on the beach, man. You get done working, you just walk across the street. You don't even have to take like an Uber or nothing. I mean, you just cross one street, everybody's hanging out on the beach, the kiosks are there. And boy, that first day that you guys were there and, you know, sent me the photo and you know, they were on the beach. I mean, I was super jealous. I'm like, man, I might have completely messed up here. But I guess, I mean, overall, you know, how was it? What was the experience? I mean, it's been years since we've been down there, man. So was it just like it used to be? Did anything change? How was it?
You know, man, it was really, really good. You know, and it's funny because, you know, everybody up to this point, you know, shoot, the stuff that was just happening in what Brasilia, like the week prior where they were storming like the government building. So a lot of us were really sort of unsure what the overall feel was. So a lot of us were kind of going down there thinking that, hey, security is going to have to be paramount for everything that we do. And ultimately it was. But honestly, when we got off the plane and, you know, got there Tuesday. I met up with Oscar. He was there the night before. This was summertime for them. So I can't remember ever a time that it was as busy as it was right now. I mean, the beach was completely just loaded with like beachgoers, all the umbrellas and stuff. So immediately it wasn't like we were walking back into this war zone where nobody's on the beach. And the only people on the beaches are the criminals waiting to take your money. You know, it didn't have that feel at all. In fact, the weather-wise, even though the humidity was really, really high, there was lots of wind and just coming off the water with the breeze, it didn't feel like it used to be, you know? So it wasn't so bad. It wasn't like this crazy, heat thing where always kind of like sweaty and nasty, you know? And it was probably some of the most enjoyable thing, you know? Like, because, you know, when you get off that plane from just traveling, your brain's not quite there. So we just went over the beach and immediately just something about sitting there on the beach. They all had originals. That was my main thing. Yeah. When I got there, I walked up. I was like, please tell me you have originals. Oh, see.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ice and then we sat original. There. And then the breeze started coming. Then I was just like, hey, I remember this feeling. I remember what this feels like. And boy, it was good, man. Going down there thinking like this, you know, I was literally making sure all my ducks were in a row. You know, I prepared. You're going to think this is funny, but this is kind of what everybody was sort of praying. I prepared my made sure my will was good.
Oh, come
on. I told my sister, you know, I was like, hey, you never know what the hell's going to go on. I mean, one of those things, I mean, that's a different conversation. I mean, like,
true.
Does your wife know all your plans? Do you have a will made?
No, I don't.
Exactly.
No.
See, and that's like one of those things I started thinking about. I was like, dude, even just in general, we tend to always wait too long for some of these little sort of things to really get your ducks in a row. And I remember when my father passed, like us trying to find what insurance there was, you know, whether this, you know, it's just good to get that sort of thing just taken care of. So going down on this trip, I was like, all right, everybody's going to say that we're, you know, stay in your hotel rooms, don't go out. And I was like, well, shit, maybe I should just make sure my shit's all taken care of. So I got all that stuff prepared, you know, just like, I was just like, hey, I'm good. Hey, sis. Hey, mom. Here's my paperwork. Tina, take care of shit. If shit happens, I'm going down there. And, you know, once we got there, I was like, man, not that I feel silly because I went ahead and got that up prepared because, you know, I feel like I should.
Right.
But honestly, it was the fear of being in this restless Brazil was gone almost immediately because, you know, everybody down there.
Because of the ice cold original.
Because the originals and just seeing people on the beach enjoying themselves. I mean, it was probably the busiest things ever. And it's not even full swing of like their summer right now, you know, or maybe it is, or maybe it's on the backside. I can't remember because they're flipped from us. But everybody was just so happy. And there's something about being in the beach scene with sun and beers and babes and people just looking good. Everybody looks good. You're just like, Do I really need to be scared down here? Do I really care? You know? And then, I mean, it's good to be prepared, but honestly, it was amazing. You know, I forgot how fun and good it could be down there. I mean, granted, the crew, luckily I had Oscar. I mean, Oscar, you know, helped make the trip. But besides that, I mean, like the crew that we used to have back in the day, all the old school UFC people, the old PR team, you know, all the journalists that would travel, nobody was there.
Right.
Me and Oscar were the two American outlets for the most part that were there, you know, and then it was just Brazilian media. You know, there was some Argentinian media there. Fighting has Guilherme down there. So like on the days of the media day, we were able to kind of speak English with him and kind of help kick things off and stuff. But honestly, it was almost like an afterthought. I'm like, oh, I know we're here for an event, but you see the beach across the street and you see the cabanas. Can we go over there? And almost if by just trying to reward us, the UFC was like, hey, Thursday, we're not going to schedule a presser. We're not going to do that. And I was like, is this for real?
So crazy.
And then the one thing they set up is that media mixer. And we're like, wait, is that work or are we just drinking? You know, and that did turn out to be what they hoped that people would actually interview. And we did. We got an interview with like Dave Shaw and Denitsa, which I'd have to look up her last name. I don't want to butcher it. Who's like their strategy, UFC Fight Pass strategy and stuff like that down in Brazil. So we did do something like, but it wasn't anything like crazy. It wasn't like a rager or anything like that. But we didn't care because we were able to leave from that and then go to the cabanas, you know. Dude, it was crazy, man. It was great. You know, we didn't go too crazy, but we had a good time. You know, for me, you know, now as I get older, sitting on a beach and just having ice cold beers, looking at the sun. I watched the sunset one night and was just like, I don't need anything more than that. You know, because I know some other people, they went to like the Christ Redeemer and doing all this other stuff. I was like, bro, I don't want to get in a van and drive an hour and a half, then have shit maybe go wonky, then get in another hour and a half ride, and then come back. I was like, I'd rather just sit here and I watch the sunset, sitting at a table by myself, drinking some originals. But honestly, I didn't even care, man. And I felt safe and I felt good. And yeah, dude, it was great, man. It was great. But it wasn't the same like it used to because the crew wasn't all there. But honestly, it was really, really good. It was great, man.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For being worried about shit. It was just like, felt like silly worrying for nothing, but, you know, well, it is what it is.
Here's a couple of things I take out of all of that. First of all, I will say that while this is supposed to be a lighthearted, entertaining mixed martial arts show, yes, it's true. You should have your affairs in order, so I won't make fun of you too much for having your affairs in order. Secondly, I will say, if you ever get a chance for any fan out there, if it's around a UFC event or if it's just an opportunity to go to Rio de Janeiro, I would recommend it because I am with you. That experience of just – it's just – you sit down in a plastic chair. You get an ice-cold original. It's cheap. It's fun. It's beautiful, man. Like, it's a city. But the other real important thing I take out
and
of
we,
it
And
all,
we should say, like, there's Rio and then definitely the different areas. Like, the area of the beach, while it's part of Rio, is Barra de Tijuca. Barra de Tijuca.
Right.
So it's a fancier part of Rio. So when we say go to Rio, look at the areas that are by the beaches because it's different than just staying downtown in the middle of Rio. It's a little bit different in the middle of Rio.
I mean,
so I just want to say that for sure.
That is true. That is true. I mean, you got your Copacabana that everybody knows about, but
Ipanema.
Ipanema.
Find the girl from Ipanema.
And then Barra de Tijuca. So, all right. So listen. So I'm going to make that as a travel recommendation. But the other thing I really take out of it all, Cold Coffee, is just I don't think people maybe realize the risk that MMA media takes putting their life on the line to go cover this sport for the entertainment of the masses. And I just think, you know, bold troopers like yourself aren't getting
right.
the respect that's deserved in putting your health and safety and security on the line.
They should have gave me a hard hat and a bulletproof vest as soon as I got off the airplane or something that just said media. And then people understand, you know, I think I should get an Emmy for this work, you know? I mean, somebody's got to be willing to put their lives on the line, and I put my boots on. My boots were on the ground. My life was on the line. But I do that for you folks.
Get out of here. Get out of here. All right, listen, UFC 283 did end up being a pretty entertaining night of fights. I know that, you know, maybe not the most anticipated fights of all time with some of the matchups, but I thought it ended up being a very entertaining night. Of course, we recapped it all on the and a half episode over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. But I did want to talk to you about the fans because I've seen a lot of people after this event really kind of trashing the Brazilian fans. And
because they're saying they weren't present?
Well, there's two things. One, of course, first of all, trashing the fans because they did trash Brandon Moreno, right? And look, I won't excuse that. It's not right. You shouldn't be throwing objects at anybody. But I do kind of get the frustration that was going on at the moment. You know, the title fight with their guy didn't end the way that they thought it would. Maybe a lot of them thought it was an illegal blow. It certainly wasn't. But I don't know. So there's that. And then, yes, you are right. I mean, obviously, and I don't know if it was ever formally addressed. I mean, clearly was not a sellout. So I guess the sellout streak is over.
They like to tell us that, we don't talk about numbers and gates in Brazil. I'm like, you say all the time that they're sold out. Like, what's different now? But yeah, Vicky threw her under the bus. Because I asked Oscar, I was like, dude, did Dave not say the thing? And then he showed me a text saying like, the reason you're not hearing the numbers is because we typically don't release those numbers.
Well, they don't. I will say they don't in Brazil. They don't release the gate information. They only release the attendance. They don't release the gate, like the revenue generated. And they never have done that. However, they didn't say anything about it being a sellout. And it did not appear to be a sellout from what I could see. So,
but honestly, you know, whether it was a sellout or not a sellout, you know, the people that were there, granted, the time of the night is just so ridiculously late, you know.
Yeah.
It just started so – but, you know, it's funny. There were just so many fights. It started – I mean, we got to the venue. I think the first fight was maybe, 7:30, something like that. So that sounds reasonable, right? Like, why the F are we getting done at 5 in the morning, at 4 in the morning? When we start at 7, it sounds like it should be reasonably done. But when we were underneath – the venue, I didn't make it out onto the floor, even though I did have floor access. It's just trying to get there is just kind of a pain sometimes. I was like, I don't really care just to go and sit in the back, my row C, whatever, blah blah blah. It's not like I'm there in the front or whatever. It was loud. It was so loud, like they were stomping. There were points where they were getting excited, so they were stomping on the ground, and you could just hear the dun 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 through into the whole press room. So for somebody to be like, oh man, they didn't even show up, they weren't even, you know, loud, like if you could hear the crowd, the ones that were present were so loud and so animated. And I think that's probably why we saw what happened with Brandon's, because they were just One, it was late, but and they were probably really drunk, but they were just, the 100%. Ones that were there were so passionate and fervent to, like, their people.
Yeah.
Like, they made it sound like it was, from below, they made it sound like it was full. But clearly, when we'd look on the TV screen, it was like, wow, there's, like, whole sections that you couldn't see anybody in, but the ones that were there were very, very loud. I mean,
well, and the other criticism was that I saw is, you know, when Glover Teixeira was giving his post-fight speech, his retirement, that a lot of the crowd was already gone, and so they felt like that was disrespectful. But I just want to point back to what you said, that, dude, it's like 4-something in the morning, and they've been there for like 7 hours. Like, I get it, man. Sometimes at the end of a game.
And it's a long walk.
Yeah.
It's a long walk for them, you know, and if they're trying to Uber and get anything, like, that's why we tried to, I was begging the UFC. I'm like, can we please get on your shuttle? Because you can't find cars. Mm-hmm. The later it gets, you can't find cars. So if I was there and them, and even though I loved Glover to death, I would probably consider getting the F out of there too. Just knowing that you're the venue, not that it's like in the middle of nowhere, but it's not really near anything. It's part of this Olympic complex that's just a venue building next to a venue building next to a venue building next to a venue building, and you have to walk this long walk to get to the street, and then there's nothing around. So I imagine most of the people there were just literally trying to think, like, it's late as hell. How can I get the F home, you know?
Yep.
Either get to where their car is. I can see where somebody might say that, but if they understand, it's different staying and watch the end of the fight and watch it be 11 o'clock, knowing that there's going to be no problem to get home, as opposed to being 4 or 5 in the morning. It was, you know, it had to be between like 4 and 4:30 probably by the time they cleared out to get a car. I don't blame them from that by any means, because 100%. we were trying to do the same thing. 100%. We've been there before, walking out of that venue between 5 and 6 and not having a car anywhere around and feeling so, like, desperate, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it would help, certainly, if you spoke the language, but which you
would.
Don't.
It would. But you're right. There's just nothing there. So that's why I wanted to speak out about it, because, you know, not being there for this trip, obviously, I can't speak to it directly, but from all my past experiences in being there, and I saw this criticism of the crowd, I'm like, you know what? Okay, the throwing stuff, you're right, can't sign off on that, but it was a little bit, it wasn't controversial, but I could see why it would seem controversial, and like you said, it's late, and they've had a little bit too much drink, and they're throwing stuff. It's not excusable, but I don't think that that's them as a whole, as a Brazilian crowd. But the thing about them kind of leaving early and not staying through Glover's speech, I definitely wanted to point that out to people. It's like, hey, don't criticize them for that. Like, they're literally, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. There's no public transportation. There's very few Ubers available, and they're just trying to get home. So I don't think you should criticize their fandom because of that.
And I don't think – a lot of them might have already started the process of leaving. They had no idea that Glover was going to retire.
Right.
You know? I mean, like, I think some people thought there was a possibility. In fact, I tried asking him about it during the media day, and he was like, I can't even think about that. I can't think about the idea of losing. But that was one of the things I asked him. I was like, so, I mean, this makes a perfect scenario where if you did lose, this would be the perfect place to actually retire. But he didn't even want to talk about it. So I think some people maybe had no idea that it even started, because you'd have to be in your seat – waiting for everything to happen, and then see, oh, goodness, he's retiring. You know, it's not like they were like, the fight ended and everybody knew, like Shogun, like that was his last, that was the curtain call.
Right.
Everybody knew, so everybody was, paying attention. They had to wait for it, you know, watch the other interview, and then be there. So I think most people probably at that point already dipped, and were just 100%. Like, hey, I'm not gonna, you know, stick around, but... I don't think – I wouldn't blame any of the ones because they didn't stay right there, because I don't think they would have known as well, you know, that it was going to happen. But, dude, I mean, when you think about some of these venues and some of these countries, you're telling me that if there wasn't a Irish champ in Dublin lose the belt to a foreigner, that they wouldn't get something thrown at them.
Especially if it seems to be in controversial fashion, which I'm not calling it controversial. Like, that was not an eye poke. It was a legal punch.
They played it in the arena, and I don't remember hearing the crowd, like, saying, no, still. Even in the media room, which in years past, like, the media be like, ugh. Everybody clearly could see it, you know.
Yeah.
It helps being able to hear the dialogue that's happening on the screen at the same time. So as the commentary team, watching the replays, you know, describing it, we had the benefit of the doubt, but the media in the back, so they didn't freak out. But you know, when they came out and said it clearly, you know, like, hey, it wasn't an eye poke, I don't remember hearing, like, the crowd, you know,
boo,
give too much grief. You know, yeah. I think it was just more of drunk late night, and they wanted a Brazilian to take it. Brazil didn't have a great night that night. That was, and it, you know, usually a lot of times to go down there, it's almost like, don't bet against the Brazilian, because something happens to them down there. They're so supercharged by the crowd, they just pull it out. And we saw some lots of non-Brazilians in the back, you know, that evening. Ihor, Cody Stamen, some other ones that went through. And it was just like, yo, it wasn't a clean sweep. So I think by the end of the night, they were just frustrated.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to take something out, you know.
I agree. I agree. But I wouldn't use that as a way to criticize the fans. I saw people saying, oh, the UFC shouldn't go back there. Or, you know, it's like, come on, man. That's not the case.
They were just hurting. And it was late. And they were drunk, you know. But even Brandon afterwards wasn't. If Brandon wasn't bitching about it, why are y'all bitching about it?
There you go.
You know, like, he was like, I understand it. You know, they're passionate people. He's like, you know, I think the Mexican crowd, you know, would be passionate as well. You know, like, you pick a lot of these countries where, you know, their fans are so ardently supportive of their people, and then you give them a whole buttload of alcohol and you ply them with fights and alcohol for hours and hours and hours. Shit, something's going to get thrown at some point.
it happened in Mexico, right? The Yair Rodriguez, yeah. Jeremy Stevens. I mean, that was in Mexico as well. So, yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's not new. It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. But don't, I mean, you can't fault them for it. I mean, you can be a little bit upset at what they did. But if Brandon was a good sport about it, you know, and I mean,
there you
who
go.
Hasn't had a little beer thrown on him at some point?
You know, it happens. It happens. Yeah, so don't criticize him. All right, well, listen.
And then maybe, I think, plus, too, with the security shuttling him out, it makes it seem a heck of a lot worse than what it maybe even felt there. I mean,
right.
Granted, it probably looked like whatever, but when you see somebody duck down and run, it just makes it seem like, oh, my God, there's a real threat, you know?
Right.
But afterwards, I mean, maybe that wasn't really necessary. They, you know,
it wasn't necessary. I won't defend
it. Certainly escalated.
It wasn't necessary. Like, yeah. I know, like, when it happened to Colby Covington, like, and again, this is way before this is way before me and Colby ever had anything, but like that one I understood. It's still not right, but he had literally just gotten on a microphone and like berated them all. Like he was basically welcoming that on himself. You know what I mean? I think he loved the fact that was happening. Now, Brandon definitely didn't deserve it, but I just wanted to step up and say the 29 times that I went to Brazil, the crowd was awesome, and yeah. I just think some of the criticism was unwarranted, and it is a great place to watch a fight, man. The passion there is unbelievable. So, listen, you guys didn't get to talk to either Jamal Hill or Glover Teixeira that night because obviously they had a battle and they needed to go be medically evaluated. Glover Teixeira, his toughness is unbelievable. I do hope to speak to him at some point, but although I understand right now he wouldn't necessarily want to be giving interviews as he's processing everything and allowing himself to heal. But I did, literally right before we sat down to record today, got a chance to speak to Jamal Hill, the new champ, Sweet Dreams. So I figured why not go ahead and share that with you now. Here is the new UFC light heavyweight champion and the king of the internet, too, as far as I'm concerned. It is Jamal Hill, Sweet Dreams himself, the UFC light heavyweight champion. Jamal, I mean, what a whirlwind. Has that even really sunk in and settled in? I mean, everybody's got to call you champ now.
Yeah. It feels good, John. It just feels right. It feels right, John.
Destiny fulfilled, man. It dawned on me, I think, during the fourth or fifth round, how much your life has changed in 6 weeks, right? Like in December, and I'm just guessing, you're sitting at home, you're watching that pay-per-view play out, and you're like, one day, that's going to be me. One day, I'm going to be there. And then at the end of the night, the phone rings, and 6 weeks later, you're the champ. I mean, how insane was this stretch for you?
It's been pretty wild, you know, from the Whenever I was watching it, you know, after I seen it go down, I knew I was close. You know, I knew a solid win over Smith, and I kind of figured maybe one more by the end of this year I'd be fighting for it, not the beginning. The first pay-per-view of the year would be me getting my shot to capitalize on becoming the champion. So it's been great. You know, it's just last few weeks, honestly, it's just been work. It was just hard work, just diving right in and understanding the assignment and getting myself in a place where I'm in position to win.
I know you believed in yourself and that this was your destiny and that you would get here. But during that 6 weeks, you know, when everything is changing and happening, was there any part of you that was just like, what the hell is going on right now? This is crazy. Or were you just so dialed in that you couldn't think that way?
Yeah, no, I was just dialed in and focused on taking advantage of the moment.
Well, you certainly did that. So talk to me about this, man. The fight happens, right? And everybody had the same breakdown for the fight, right? Could be trouble on the ground for if Glover gets it there. If it stays on the feet, Jamal's going to look good. Fight starts.
That was y'all narrative. I already knew what I could do on the ground. You know, and I said it, you know, but the thing was, I just got tired of saying it. Y'all wasn't listening. So, you know, you got to show.
That is true. But let me ask you. So the fight plays out. He wastes no time, shoots in, instant defense. He comes back in again, instant defense. I mean, you defended like 4 takedowns like early on. I know you're already confident, but did that add to, I mean, did you click right then when he couldn't get in on those entries to think, I got this?
Yeah, well, the guys that I were going, that I've been going with that were shooting for those takedowns on me, they were really strong. And you got to think they were focused on solely trying to get me down and making sure I could defend a takedown. Glover had a lot more things to worry about outside of training. So the more I was on point and I was sharp and I was confident in those things to help with.
Unbelievable. It was an incredible performance. But, you know, obviously this guy would not go away, man. I mean, he's beat up. He's busted up. And then he actually gets a takedown in the 5th round. I mean, what's going through your mind when this dude just won't go away, when you know you're tagging him with great stuff?
This is what I was like. Oh, he's as tough as they said he was. It was like I was prepared for the toughness. Now, was I prepared for it to be on the level that it was on? No, there's no way for you to prepare for you to be able to hit a dude with clean counters, solid shots, really damaging blows, and him just keep working. Like not even just like going out. It wasn't the fact that he didn't go out. It was the fact he never stopped working. You know, he was steady. He was constantly trying to find a shot, find either shots from punches, trying to find a sweep, a transition, a takedown, something. You know, he was always looking to try to improve himself and build his way into trying to win the fight.
Yeah, just made your performance that much more impressive, man, because you went the full 5 rounds. And then, of course, the emotion that we saw, man, it was so raw. What was the thought that triggered that? I mean, the final bell rings, you know you got the decision. There's no question about it. And the emotion came right then.
I didn't really think about it, you know. After when the bell rang, you know, I shook Glover's hand. And then, like, he was like, you beat my ass, or you kicked my ass. That's what he said. He was like, you kicked my ass. And he like went over to my coaches. I went over to his coaches, shook their hands, and it was kind of like, damn. I was like, damn, it's over. And then like I seen my coaches coming in, you know what I mean, and like their eyes, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then it was like, oh shit, they're not bringing the stool in. Like, it's really over. But I was locked in, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, damn, I'm a champion. And then it's just like the whole journey, like kind of like flashed in like an instant.
Unbelievable, man. It was so great to see. But I'll tell you what was cool, too, is, you know, the emotions are pouring out as you're talking to DC. But as the emotions are pouring out, you still yelled as well. I mean, there's still a little chip on the shoulder with the doubters, right?
Oh, you know what I mean? At that moment, it was just more. That was just more of my, you know what I mean? Like to let them know I'm the lion. You know, the lion stand on top of Pride Rock. You know what I mean? You got to roar. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? I did that. And they still find ways. They still got this and that or whatever to say. Now all of a sudden Glover's old and he's not a championship level fighter. You know what I mean? And it's just like, go fight. Like that's the main thing. I said, cause like the main people that say shit like that are these like really weird looking weak ass dudes who he could sit on the couch for the next 2 years and he still dog walk you. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
It's all good, man.
Can't rewrite history. That man's an absolute champion, absolute legend, and you took him out. And then not only are you the UFC light heavyweight champion, but you're also, I think, the champion of the internet today. I mean, that reply video to Jiří Procházka is so spot on. But here's what I got to know. How committed were you to the gimmick? Like, how far did you have to drive to get into the perfect woods scenery, the snowfall, to make that happen?
No, that's behind my house. house. It's like my backyard. My backyard got woods and snow too.
That's hilarious. I thought maybe you had to make a journey out into the countryside to get that done.
Nah, bro.
Well, it was spot on. Well, that begs the question, right? Because that's what we're all trying to figure. And I know it sucks because I was just talking to Saif Saud about this with Brandon Moreno, and he's like, give that man time, let him enjoy it. But that's what we do with champions, right? We go, oh, you won, congrats, what's next? I mean, do you anticipate that he's next, or do you even want to think about that?
That's what I want next. You know what I mean? Of course, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about Rain. I'm thinking about ruling. So, you know, of course, I'm thinking about the next student I want to enroll. You know, the scouts never stop recruiting. You know, we need new talent in school.
I love it. Have you had any conversations to find out from the UFC, like how his shoulder is, when he could be ready? I mean, are you having that type of discussion yet?
I asked Nick Maynard, you know. It was more so like a, you know, the same thing, kind of like with Brandon. It's like, this just happened. Enjoy this. We'll get to that. We'll work on it. You're good. You're the champ.
That's awesome, man. So let me ask you, I mean, who do you spoil? I know you spoil your kids, right? I mean, this is a big moment. There's going to be some money coming in. Do you spoil yourself at all, or is it just spoiling the kids? I mean, are you enjoying the fruits of the labor at all?
Man, right now it's about, like, you know, I didn't grow up with money and things like that. Now, like, to be where I'm at, in the position I am, right now, it's about getting my finances and my money in order to make sure that I do the right things with it so that I can build a foundation that I want to build to where this isn't just a small period of time. This lasts forever.
That's amazing. So are you finding this at all overwhelming right now, or is it you've been working towards this so long, like you were kind of ready for everything that's happening?
Yeah, you know, I've been working for this for a long time now, but obviously it's new things that you got to learn, you know. I don't feel like the school system was meant to make you actually wealthy and things like that. So there's a lot of things that I feel like I should have learned in school that I'm learning now. So, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm focused on that. You got to learn how to have money.
That's true. I guess the downside, Javon, there's a no more Sweet Dream Stadium, man. I don't think you're going to be fighting at the Apex again anytime soon.
We'll see. The King goes home.
I love it. Well, listen, Joao, I know you're busy. I know you're doing tons of stuff. I just want to say congratulations, man. I guess last thing I'll ask you, leave you with this. I mean, what's your goal as champion? I mean, is it, you know, you talk about building, an organization. Is it about being an example? Is it about being a dominant champion? I mean, what's your goal now that you've made it to the goal? What's the goal now?
To rule. I'm dream blocking. Sweet Dreams is dream blocking. Yeah, I made my dreams come true. Now it's time to make sure others don't.
Well said. Congratulations, Jamal. Phenomenal performance. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, that was Jamal Hill. Appreciate him taking a few minutes. I know he was busy doing a lot of them. Obviously, he had a ton of interview requests since he wasn't able to attend the press conference. Everybody wanted to be able to hear from the new champ, but hey, man, I love the fact that he's already looking towards Jiří Procházka, and hopefully Jiří is healing up right, and we can make that fight sooner rather than later, because I think on paper that looks to be an extremely exciting fight, and it just seems to be the right fight to make. Unless Jiří can't go, obviously, and Jamal wants to fight somebody else in the meantime, I would totally understand that, but it just seems like it's the fight to make right now, you know?
He's coming for you. I'm coming for you. Whatever that weird shit he was doing out in the...
That's what she said. So great.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a big frame, man. But, Glover gave, Jamal everything, man. That head kick that he was throwing, I was like, man, Glover, move your head. Jiří, I don't think it's going to stand like that, but it's going to be tough. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people thinking he's going to be one and done. I don't know. I'm not ready to write him off.
Not after that performance.
Not after that one. And especially, like, you know, everybody was like, oh, Glover's going to take him down. Glover's going to get him down, and then he's done for. Glover did take him down, but he got up, you know, and he got out some stuff. So, I mean, like, his game has improved. So, while he is not going to be this most dangerous threat when he's on the ground outside of, like, ground and pound, it's certainly not a done deal that if you get him to the ground that he's done. And Glover's, I mean, how good is Glover? I mean, we've seen Glover, you know, win belts and rest victory from fights that he's down with his ground game. So good on Jamal, man. I don't know, man. I just feel like there's still a lot of growth. I mean, the kid, good on him, man. He's the champ, and I still feel like he's not where he's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like he can thicken out a little bit, you know? He just seems young. He still feels young, and I feel like we haven't seen his full man strength yet, you know?
I agree.
Which it's just dangerous because like, he's already dangerous, but I just feel like he's got much more to go, and that being able to see that ground defense and what he was able to do, that's a hell of another wrinkle to have in, you know, in his arsenal, and it shows a lot of things. So, what's crazy about the Jiří thing is Jiří's going to want to stand and bang. So that's just going to be two dudes throwing heavy leather, you know.
Yes.
So I mean, how exciting is that going to be, you know?
Stylistically, I think it's a good matchup, man. So I'm excited by it. So we'll see how that plays out. Like I said, I mean, Jamal obviously gets to enjoy his time a little bit, and then we'll look towards it. But I like that
fight. Yeah, don't rush back. Don't rush back. Enjoy being a champ. Dudes do that way too much. They're like, I just want to get back in because they want to make some money. But shoot, I mean, what's the right time? What would you want? I would want like 3 or 4 months before I even jumped into a camp.
Exactly.
Would that be crazy?
Yeah. No, you want some time, especially when you're first conversation. And it touches, and it goes to, you know, and I mentioned it there in that interview, that conversation that I had yesterday with Saif Saud, our good friend, who was yeah. saying, you know, as far as talking about Brandon Moreno, you're saying, listen, you know, don't, you know, and it's natural. And I feel bad because it's what we do, right? Somebody wins the belt and we go up there and we're like, hey, amazing. How do you feel? What did you think? What's next? What do you want to do
next?
It's just
get
just
back
natural.
In there, fight again. Get
That's
back
it.
In there.
But I love what Saif had to say. Is like, hey man, listen, this dude had the weight of the world on his shoulders. You know, let's wait a little bit. And I think these champions. I mean, look, that doesn't mean we're going to stop asking him what's next because we want to get the headline and move the story forward. But you do got to understand, man. They need some time to decompress and be with the family a little bit. And you know, I think that applies to Brandon Moreno. I think it applies to Jamal Hill as well, but you know, with Brandon Moreno, it looks like it's going to be Alexander Pantoja next. I think that'll be a great fight. It looks like the relationship is going to continue with Saif Saud. They haven't worked anything out yet, but you heard at the press conference Brandon Moreno saying, you know, I guess maybe I need to go to Dallas now. So it looks like that's going to continue, and
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool, man. It's if you want to go check that out, I have the MMA Underground YouTube page. I had a chance to catch up with Saif as well, and he was talking about, because I did wonder, you know, how weird would it feel like you know you've been building this group of guys from the ground up, and then you finally get, you know, your UFC title, and it's somebody that's a mercenary or something, you know, that just came in from the outside. But I Saif ultimately said, listen, man, I, you know, it does feel absolutely like, you know, I had a big part in this, and I'm excited about it. And he said, look, I think it's only going to do well for the gym. You know what I mean? It helps me as a coach because now I've coached in a championship fight. It helps the team around him because, you know, if he comes out to Fortis instead of, you know, me having to go to Vegas, if he comes out to Fortis, now all the guys are going to have a UFC champion in the room. And that just helps, right? You just see that example and you're like, okay, I'm going to do what that guy did and it'll get me there. So I know, like I said, Saif's always been good to both you and me. So I'm sure you were happy to see him back there in the back in Brazil.
Yeah, it was good team in the media room. In fact, while Oscar was asking Brandon some questions, I was able to look over and saw that Saif was over on the set of tables just past where Oscar was. So as I kind of looked back to the Oscar off the left, leaned back and then saw Saif, and I made sure to wave to get his attention and give him the thumbs up and stuff because I wanted to speak with him that fight week because we had all that free time on Thursday, and he was still just a little bit like, man, this is all kind of weird. Feels kind of weird, you know, jumping in, you know, don't want to throw, you know, shine while another guy is down and why this whole sort of thing did. But now there's no question. I mean, that's this fight's went and it's went through. So I think nobody's going to think anything less. Or nobody's going to think like, oh, you're just holding on to another guy's fighter or whatever, you know. But I respect him for not wanting to try to make it about him, even though I was just trying to find some content that was unique on a Thursday. And then I was like, bro, it's cool. You don't want to do an interview? I was like, cool. I tried. Let me just mark off my virtual checkbox of trying to do something different. But it was really cool. And I was happy for him, man. It was good to see him in the back sort of celebrating that moment. And you could see it. You could see it in Brandon's face. I mean, you could see when somebody is just blowing hot air up somebody's ass in a way to sort of like think, I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you for your help. You know, you're a great coach, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was nothing like that. You could see the actual honest respect that Brandon has for what Saif was able to make this whole week for him. I mean, this was an awkward, weird situation in the lead up, but he came into this week feeling calm, cool, relaxed, you know, and so that's safe. And that's a testament to the work that they were able to kind of find that quick bond, mm-hmm. but also have the mindset to get your fighter in the right space and what could be a crazy situation, you know, foreign hostile land. He's going out there. He's not used to going out there, standing on a scale and getting crazy boos, being at the official weigh-ins and having a large amount of Davidson's people in the back of the room were getting at him, mm-hmm. you know? So like when they came back for the face-off, so when you see like the pictures, you see Brandon, he's doing the shh, you know, finger over the thing. That was addressing all Davidson's people in the back, you know? Right. So the whole week he was having to do with stuff, but you know, it helped to have the right team in place. He came in, he was able to function, and I thought he looked great, man. You know, it's funny, you know, we've seen that fight over and over and over again, but it still had moments, you know, when you're watching it, you're like, man, this could go either way. It had that tension. It had that sort of like, man, how's it going to go? You know, there was never any point, you know, going into it was like, I felt clearly, oh, this guy or this guy. And it was great, you know. So I'm really happy that relationship's going to go. And I can't say, I mean, like we said, I mean, Saif is by far every year, I think he should be, you know, as one of those coach of the year candidates, you know, in that popularity contest thingy that comes around every year that you get nominated in every once in a while. He does good shit, you know. So I was happy to be able to kind of give him a big thumbs up in the press room. In fact, I did it. I kind of didn't realize I was kind of making big gestures trying to get Saif's attention. So Oscar, who was asking questions, actually got thrown off and kind of stopped and looked over at me. And then I think he could see that I was trying to wave to Saif. But I didn't care. I was just like, I'm trying to tell my boy, good job, you know. So it is what it is.
I was happy for him. It's funny because I don't do a lot of interviews with Saif. I haven't over the years. Because I don't know. We just have we go back so far that it's more like a friendship than, you know, professional relationship in a lot of ways, and so I feel kind of weird like turning into an interviewer, but I don't know, this was such a unique situation, I had to talk to him, so definitely go.
Well, if anybody knows, Saif reps his dudes,
right?
So every time he comes into the Apex post fight room, a lot of coaches don't go in, sometimes they're not in there with their fighters. Saif always there. He's pulling out his camera to like film it, and he's also telling the media, be good to my boy, be good to my girl, you know, ask some questions, you know. He's goading everybody like, you better ask questions or something. True. So it's always funny. He's always repping his dudes.
He's the man. Happy for him. And like you said, and I think you touched on something too, you know, like, you know, and I haven't seen a lot of that feedback, but I'm sure maybe some of it's there that like, hey, you want a title with somebody else's guy. If that feedback is out there, like, it needs to go away. And as you said, like, listen, we still don't know what's going to happen with James Krause, and I feel bad for James in a lot of ways. I don't know the whole depth of what was done, and you know what's being investigated entirely yet. But it's not as if Saif went and poached this guy out of a camp.
No,
you know what I mean? That would be one thing. He just this situation was brought to him as like, hey, can you please help us here? We are in need of assistance. So if anybody has a thing of like, oh man, you did something wrong by stepping in here or whatever, like, come on, man, you got to put that to the side.
Yeah, I mean, to think that a coach is going to turn down interviews knowing that you have a fighter fighting in a championship because even he felt like, you know, I don't want to make this about me. I mean, that just shows you right there. I mean, if he was trying to be like, oh, I'm going to poach this guy, I'm going to do whatever, they would be out there trying to claim the glory. They would be trying to, you know, like, boast and have, you know, tell other fighters, you know, if you want this to happen, see, leave your guy, come to me. And that's not what he does, you know. And I think that's, you know, it's just a testament that his fighters do all, you know, the work speaks for himself, you know. So he deserves to pat himself on the shoulder a little bit. But if he doesn't, we'll do it for him for a little bit.
No doubt about it. All right, listen, UFC 283 behind us. No UFC this weekend. There is some MMA. We'll talk about that in just a little bit.
Even though I'm like, man, we're already getting our break like this early in the year. I'm like, I know it was just like, oh, getting ready to go, but I know that it's back at it, and then it's the long stretch.
The schedule
kind of just feels almost like, oh, we're already getting the fucking week. So I have the whole week off.
Do you really?
You know, I have, yeah, because, wow. Well, one, I messed up. I didn't really sort of – I forgot to tell Simon that I was landing late Monday because they forget – we're so used to flying out on Sunday. They forget since the fight doesn't end till like Sunday – Sunday morning, late Sunday morning, their flights are out on Sunday night, yep. you know, so that meant I couldn't do our spinning back like on Monday morning. So I was like, yo, I don't get back till like 11 o'clock tomorrow night. And so he pretty much, since it was an off week, we were using a bunch of those MTO days. So I was only scheduled for 2 days this week. So he was just like, you know, screw it. I'm just going to give you the week off. And I'm just like, cool.
Nice.
So, yeah. So I'm using this time to get my head right, trying to get back on schedule. Because, one, my sleep schedule has been completely just off the whole time. I kept waking up at like 3 o'clock in the morning down there. And then I couldn't get back to sleep for like another hour or so. And then you just like, I felt like all the days were kind of wacky. It was 5 hours ahead. So it was just kind of like my brain clock was a little wacky. And then getting back here as well, losing that day in the lounge, my sleep was just all messed up. So yesterday, it was like, I was like, what day is it yesterday? So today I knew we were getting together. I was like, okay, it's Wednesday. I'm starting to feel more, human today. So I'm thinking tomorrow I'm going to get a good workout in later on tonight and just get a sweat and just go to bed early and just try to get back. But yeah, this one, it's been weird getting adjusted back or something. So I'm glad I have the week off. I'm glad there's no UFC.
I didn't know you had the week off. I just been off from coverage. Right,
when you're balling like this, you know, man, my life's, I'm at the beach, babe, or I'm just going to take a week off. I'm just going to chill.
Oh, man. No,
yeah. I've been doing exciting things. I've been doing laundry and mopping my floors and cleaning the house. Yeah, nothing crazy on my week off.
Good times. I mean,
Where do you go to spend your week off when you just get back from the beach? Like, how do you fucking top that? How do you top Rio when you get back here? I'm just like, I went to the grocery store the other day.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat it. So you just got to
go. It's the highs of highs and the lows of lows.
Just roll with it, man. That's
just
crazy.
Just rolling with it.
Well, listen, with no UFC event, there's still obviously things going on. I want to get your take on something because I've said all along that Francis Ngannou leaving the UFC, I'm happy for him. I'm excited for the financial opportunities that are going to be out there. You know, I know that he's going to make some bank, and I think that's awesome. I saw Steven Espinosa came out and was pitching Bellator basically as a home because it's like, hey, if you come to Bellator, you know, we can use you as boxing too. You know, we can have this kind of flexibility, and that does sound like a good idea, you know, because he wants to do the boxing. They do have Showtime pay-per-views, so it's something they could do. Sounds like a good idea. I don't know if Bellator is going to want to put up that kind of money as long as they're still only on Showtime. Now, they do have a network television coming up, but they're not doing pay-per-view. So I don't know. At least from the boxing side, that does make sense. I don't know if it makes sense on the MMA side. But I wanted to ask you about this Tyson Fury offer because here's what I've said all along is that I want Francis Ngannou to get paid, but if I'm being 100% honest, the idea of him fighting Tyson Fury, while cool, I just don't give him much of a chance in the matchup, and so I don't know that it's very competitive, and I don't know that I'm that excited by it. But then Tyson Fury comes out and says, hey, big fella, why don't you come over here, and we'll do this, and we'll do it in 4-ounce gloves. We'll do it boxing rules. Obviously, it's an MMA fight, but we'll do it in the little gloves, and I got to be honest. My position changed a little bit. Tyson Fury, I think he hooked me a little bit because I was like, I don't want to see it. But if I know that Francis only has to touch you once, maybe I'm a little more excited by it. Does that pique your interest at all? Or
it certainly helps.
Yeah,
it certainly helps. I mean, you know, anything that just takes it away from just being a regular boxing match, you know, because I mean, when it comes down to just technique and the skills and the way he's going to be able to sort of outsmart Francis. I mean, in a boxing with the boxing rules, I mean, clearly, I mean, that's going Tyson's way. But yeah, I mean, if he wants to sort of handicap it a little bit in the sense where it's like, okay, well, now you just got to touch me. If you touch me, you're going to do more damage than you were before. I do like it. I mean, does it, you know, change who I think will win? No, not really. But it certainly intrigues me. I mean, the main thing on something like this fight, it just goes right back to that beginning of the Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, where for the first three rounds, Floyd let Conor throw his business. He just let him throw, and everybody was like, oh, my God, I think I might give Conor the first three rounds, at least the first two rounds. You see, Floyd wasn't doing anything. But then Conor was gassed. He had nothing left. And then that's when the boxer's like, okay, we done? We done? You ready for this now? And Tyson, it's not like he throws – bombs and bombs, and like it's never like it's like this ongoing slot. He holds his strength, he holds his conditioning, and he lets the guy do it. And then he, when he hits, he does damage. And then when he turns it on, I mean, he's able to throw 3, 4, 5 massive shots in a row. And then he's able to, then he defends himself intelligently, and then he builds right back up and does it. While Francis has power in those bursts, I mean, it's just a different pacing. It's a different mentality. I mean, he's not going to be able to lock him up and hold him against the cage while trying to let his arms, you know, come back to him, you know, while trying to gain, you know, to recover or anything like that, you know. While that the punching power is there, I mean, it's still, I mean, it's Tyson just, has great head movement, I was man. Has, people don't touch him, you know. And he lands people. His reach is just ridiculous, you know. And while, I mean, granted, Francis is a ginormous man, but dude, Tyson Fury's a ginormous man, and his reach is just ridiculous. So I do like it. If anything else, you know, it to me, it's just like when Jake Paul puts some of these matches together, that's just kind of crazy. But then there's just something about it that you're like, okay. That little concession makes me want to see it more, you know? So, I mean, does the 4-ounce gloves make me want to see it more? Sure. Do I think it ultimately changes the outcome? No, but it might give us more in excitement thinking that there's that possibility of, oh, that one strike. You know, he's just got to land that one punch. I mean, he's gonna have to maintain that and not blow his load early on in the fight, you know, by just throwing his arms out and then having Tyson block him or just miss them. But I mean, like, I'm happy if he can get it to happen and he just makes some money. I mean, what's the downside?
Yeah. Well,
there's no downside for him on this, you know?
No. For him, I'm happy. Even if it's a straight boxing match, which again, and you laid it out there, and I think we've touched on this before over the years, is when these crossover bouts happen, I feel like there has to be some concession one way or the other, right? Like, because if it's a straight boxing match, the boxer's going to win. If it's a straight MMA fight, the MMA fighter's going to win. And so, that's where I stand that it's so difficult when I talk about this, because if Francis does go and fight Tyson Fury in a pure boxing match, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him to get the cash. It's just as far as my personal intrigue, I'm like, yeah, but I don't just see it. I think you make great points that even with 4-ounce gloves on, he's going to have a hard time landing clean on Tyson Fury. So ultimately, it probably doesn't change very much in how the fight goes. But I guess, at least for my own personal intrigue as a fan, now I'm a little bit more excited about the possibilities of what lays, you know, what lays out. Although, if it's a straight boxing match, take it. I mean, take it, Francis. Yeah,
100%. 100%. It'd be silly to not do it because, I mean, let's be real. I mean, like, he has the freedom now to do these big matches and all this other crazy thing. But if anybody thinks he's going to get the same kind of money on a regular basis from an MMA promotion, it's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. It's not going to happen. What he has to do now is find the biggest sort of possible, you know, fights that he can get contract-wise. But he's not going to get the crazy whatever money. Like, the money that he would have gotten fighting John Jones is going to be bigger, I imagine, than any of these sort of recurring contracts that he's going to get.
Right.
But they're going to be more than what Dana and them were willing to give him on a fight-per-fight basis, whether it be 6 fights, 8 fights. I'm sure they probably would have tried to do 8 fights and made them nice big numbers. But I'm thinking they'll probably offer him bigger numbers for less fights, and he has the ability to get these other big super fights. And that's almost like part of the what makes it worth it. You know, like, we're going to give you more money than you made over there, but we're also going to allow you to go make your super fights off to the side, yep. You know? And I would think that that's still going to be a good deal. It's just going to be who's going to be willing to get that thing. But, you know, I think we've said this before, you know, when you take a big player out of the pool of people willing to throw money your way, that changes. That changes the game for the others, because the others say, well, you can come with us. I mean, we're gonna give you good money, but if you don't go to us, where do you go?
Right.
At some point, you got to, if you want to stay in MMA, you have to eventually say yes to somebody. And it seems like the biggest player of them all just said, "Okay, well, it was nice doing business with you. We're out of the loop. Go make your money."
And you can believe that's 100% the reason why Dana said we're gonna waive the matching rights, because he wants those organizations to know, don't worry, You don't have to make the biggest play because we're not going to try to match it. You don't have to outbid us.
That's it.
You only have to outbid the other guys out there that are a lot smaller than we are. So that's definitely why he did that. Yeah, and it's – and I think to your point as well, I mean, that's why I say – and again, we'll see how things play out. But I do believe, and I've said it before, and I'm saying the boxing match is going to happen first because his popularity as a mixed martial artist, even if he faces Tyson Fury, even if he loses, which I anticipate he will, he's still a very, very marketable mixed martial artist. But – I don't think conversely it works the other way around. If he signs somewhere else, whether it be Bellator, PFL, ONE Championship, whatever it may be, he goes out there and loses for some reason, that boxing match isn't there anymore. You know what I mean? Like that boxing 100%. Match is gone. So that's 100%. Why I think we'll definitely see the boxing match first. Do you I mean, I don't
know. The fact that Tyson Fury is offering that, it's already a win. I mean, it's already like before when they did it, it just all seemed like shenanigans. Like they were just having a good, you know, taking the piss with us, you know, like just saying like, I'm going to act like I'm going to call him out. And we're like, oh man, well, that's never going to happen. There's no way in hell that Tyson Fury is ever going to actually offer him a fight. So if he's really offering him a fight, whether it's 4 ounce gloves, 12, 14, 16 ounce, who effing cares?
Pillows.
Take the fight. Yeah, strap pillows on each other's hands. Take the fight, man, but make it happen first. If before he changes his mind, you know, like, but you're right. If he fights in MMA and he starts losing that luster and people stop thinking of him as being the biggest, dangerous, most, you know, dangerous heavyweight in the world because he lost to somebody for whatever particular reason it could be, that fight, you think Tyson cares about that?
No.
He only cares about the fight while he's the most dangerous man in the world, the biggest, most dangerous heavyweight, you know? If Tyson's what, gotta do it. You have to do it. If I'm France, I'm like, okay, yeah. Where is it? We don't need concessions. Let me sign up.
I don't need to read this.
The only concessions I need is just pops for soda for my fans and beer for my fans and popcorn. Just make sure there's concessions in the stadium. But let's do it. Good for him, man. Good for him. The fact that Tyson's actually, if it's a real offer, if it is an absolutely real offer to fight and not just Tyson just putting his name out there, just having a good fun with him. He needs to take it. He needs to take that fight, and because you know the money's going to be big. It's just a matter of, you know, yes, make sure you negotiate a little bit so you actually get the best possible value that you can from that moment. But understand, it's all Tyson's the A side. Francis, while he's great and big and he's got this other stuff, he's clearly the B side. So it's not going to be a 50-50 split. It's not going to be whatever. It's just Tyson's going to be like, we'll give you a percentage of, you know, whatever, and you're going to get a nice big fat millions, lots of little zeros, and that's fine. Like, do it, bro. Good for him, man. And fuck yeah. I mean, if there was a event, I'd watch it. I'd watch the shit out of it, whether it's pure boxing or not. Just to see. I'd like to see Francis land a couple shots on him. I think he would land some shots on him. He needs to get close and make something happen, you know?
We'll see.
Tyson's amazing, but, you know, it doesn't mean he's perfect.
You can get clipped. Yep, you can get clipped. We've seen it.
And oh, my God, how exciting would that be in 4 ounce gloves, though, just to take that first shot? And then if Francis is able to land a couple, doesn't mean it changed me, but I would like to see if Tyson could take multiple shots from those guys. I mean, because you look at some of these guys he's fought, and while these guys are incredible, like boxers, none of them look scary like Francis. Francis looks literally like an anime character. I mean, he's just a freak of nature. I mean, he's just a scary dude.
Wilder's pretty scary too, but Nagano's even bigger, right?
He's even bigger. Like, if I, you know, like Wilder, while he looks scary and big, whatever, I'd be more scared of Francis.
Yeah.
Just not in terms of like boxing. Obviously, one is a better boxer than the other one, but like Francis is just a scary, scary dude, man.
Yeah, he's massive.
His physique.
But I'm telling you, the 4 ounce gloves, it raises my excitement level a little bit. It raises my
excitement. What if it was Zhang Weili versus Tyson Fury? She's a little strong. She's a little badass. I mean, Francis balked from her, man. Francis is scared of Zhang Weili, man.
Don't let Zhang hit the single leg on Tyson Fury. It's over, bro. It's over. All right, listen. I did want to ask you about one other thing as well. You know, obviously, we've heard that Conor McGregor is hopefully going to return this year, and then more details come out about this. And I just, disturbing accusations. McGregor, through a representative, steadfastly denies that anything happened. I just don't even know what to do anymore, because I just hate hearing this stuff. And, you know, there's part of it where you start thinking, well, you know, the guy's a rich guy and people are trying to get money off of him, so maybe they're going to say something. But you just keep hearing these stories over and over and over. And I don't know. I mean, like, part of me wants to see him back. He's such a great superstar and brings eyeballs and gets people talking. But I don't know, man. I'm a little bit exhausted too. I hate hearing this stuff, man. And
yeah,
I don't know if it's all true or if it's not true, and people are just coming after him. But it's like, why does this keep happening?
Yeah, I mean, if this one's true, I mean, it's just absolutely as horrendous as anything I've ever heard. I mean, that's just horrible. I mean, if they could prove that this woman did actually have to get picked up from the ocean or wherever she was by, I forget what the vehicle was. What was it, the Navy or Red Cross or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Dude, that's scary. I mean, we've seen people do crazy shit to get out of situations where they felt like their life was threatened. I mean, I'd hate to, you know, it's almost so crazy you're like, it can't possibly be true, but that's usually, it's the most crazy shit that you think is absolutely insane. I remember people said, like, oh, there's no way he stole some dude's cell phone and smashed it or whatever. It's like, oh, no, and here's a video of it. You know, oh, okay, I guess he did. Oh, there's no way he would have hit an old man at a bar. That's just ridiculous. Oh, wait, no, there's a video of it. Oh, shit. I hope not. But, I mean, honestly, I don't care if I see him fight again. I mean,
that's kind of what I'm getting, man.
In years past, I mean, we've all said how fun Conor McGregor fight weeks were, the crowd, but part of it was just from the crowd, you know, just the excitement of just a fight week. It was just different than other fight weeks. But you know, will my life feel unfulfilled if I don't see him enter a boxing cage again, or if I don't see him fight in an MMA? I don't really care. You know, I mean, like, I hope he makes lots of money. And like we've said in years past, I just want to hear stories of him being a great father to his kid,
yes.
You know, eventually be a good man and marry Dee, you know, just do the right things. I know he's been doing jujitsu on a boat lately and, other little stuff, but, who knows? I hope it's not true. I feel bad. If it isn't, man, that's really fucking, that girl took it really crazy far, and that's just ridiculous. But if it is true, you know, man, I hope that justice can be served, because, I mean, that's absolutely effing horrible. And just back to the original question, you know, do I care if I see him fight again? No. And that's no slight against him. I just, like, I mean, if I don't, I mean, it's hard to keep track of, like, what the next fight card is, and this is just because there's so much action. It's almost out of sight, out of mind. Maybe by getting into the fight week and seeing it, I'll remember how fun it is to watch a Conor McGregor fight week. I know we've said it in the past. The fight weeks are just different. They just hit different.
They do.
The excitement in the arena, the excitement all week long. But it's changed. Because part of that is the public perception, you know, like, I don't have my family reaching out asking me about Conor anymore.
Right.
You know, it used to, like, they would reach out, and that's when I realized how big he had gotten, because when my family that doesn't follow MMA is like, tell me about this Conor guy. Oh my God, he sounds incredible. He sounds crazy. I'm like, dude, he's a superstar. He's blah, 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 blah. They don't ask me about it anymore, because everything they hear, they're, you know, I got tired of sailing back to them, you know, well, we don't know for sure if this is true, you know, blah, 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 from all these different other stories. But in terms of, you know, will my life feel sad if I don't see him fight again? No. If he does fight, uh-huh. Will I watch it and be excited for it? Sure. You know, but I just don't care. I, you know, every other story that comes out is just something that's just leaves your head scratching. But I hope this is just another false allegation. It just sounds crazy. But you know, when you keep hearing things over and over and over and over and over, at some point you gotta think, is it really just about somebody trying to get money, or is there really something fundamentally wrong with this guy? You know.
Yep. I know. I hate that's the reality it's come to, but that's just the truth, man. That's the truth. All right, listen, no UFC this week, but still there is quite a bit of MMA and other type martial arts going on this week. So if you want to check it out, the PFL Challenger Series kicks off on Friday. That's on Fubo Sports Network, which, by the way, Fubo Sports Network. I think you can just go to FuboSportsNetwork.com and you can stream everything free there. So if you're trying to look at it on your TV guide or whatever, and not like, I've never heard of Fubo, I don't know where it is, you can actually just go online and stream it live. It's actually got a pretty good a CFFC tie in this week. We've got Itso Babalaitse, who fought five times as an amateur and one time as a professional. We also have Eric Alekwin, who is a former CFFC welterweight champ. And why are you laughing at it? Why are you laughing at me?
Because I was like, man, this sounds like a Fubo ad. I'm like, oh, now I see why. Now I see why the advertising. It's the underwriting done by CFFC.
You know, yeah, we got to get those plugs in. So you got that going on.
This is not an ad. This information not brought to you by the ad company at CFFC.
It's just brought to you because we love CFFC. Big things. We're taking a little
Fubo.
Break.
We just love the Fubo platform.
We love Fubo. It's phenomenal. BKFC 35 is on Friday as well. BKFC this Friday, Justin Scoggins free. Is on there. If you remember Justin Scoggins,
Is this the one that's free? I saw they sent out something recently and said like it's free on the app.
So even if you've never watched it before, you're absolutely right. So Justin Scoggins is on it. Marcus Brimage is on it. The Crazian Andy Nguyen is on there. So you're right. So a couple things going on with BKFC. It's free this weekend on the app. So if you want to try the app, you just want to see if you like the experience, you've never watched the sport live, you can download on the app. You can watch it free. Now, their price did go up. It used to be $4.99 a month. It's now $7.99 a month. If you already have a subscription, then you're grandfathered in and your price isn't going to change. But if you're new, it's $7.99 a month, which still is pretty low. I mean, you consider prices are raising everywhere on every streaming service. But important to note that that will include Knucklemania 3, which is next month in Brazil, which is next month in New Mexico, Albuquerque. Diego Sanchez is on there. John Dotson is on there. Greg Hardy is on there.
Diego. Oh, my God.
Diego's a legend.
Diego.
A legend.
He ain't going down. He's like, I ain't done.
Going out there and boxing a boxer, man. So I'm looking for it's so funny because I got a chance to talk to Diego, and he's hilarious because he's like not even trying to hide. He's like, dude, I'm going over there, I'm gonna clinch him, I'm gonna put him in a collar tie, and I'm just gonna jack him up in the clinch. I'm gonna dirty box the hell out of him. So
the way they do intros, he's just gonna do that whole like puffed out lip thing. He's just gonna be mean mugging him. He's like, oh,
can't wait. Love me some Diego Sanchez. There's also one Friday night fights, or not Friday night fights. It's one Friday fights. Their second one is on Friday, so it's Friday morning. It's in Asian prime time. It's basically mostly Muay Thai and not much MMA on there, but it's Muay Thai in 4-ounce gloves, which if you haven't seen Muay Thai in 4-ounce gloves, it is a game changer, man. It makes the action a little bit more exciting. So there's that's on your play as well. So PFL, BKFC, one all in action this weekend. And Saturday night, it's my debut with Fight League Atlantic. Fight League Atlantic 7. I'm leaving tomorrow night, late tomorrow night, heading to Moncton, Canada. It's a pay-per-view at FightLeagueAtlantic.com. We've got Kristen Savoie, who challenged for the CFFC title in the main event against Dorian Dokai, who's an Albanian veteran. So those will be the headliners. My partner in crime on the mic will be Chris Kalaitis, the four-time UFC vet, which, by the way, four-time UFC vet. He went 2-2 in his time with the UFC, but his losses were to Ray Borg and Sergio Pettis. And he didn't get another contract after that, man. So I'm going to have to ask him about that. Like, what the hell happened? Did you just want to leave? Because I can't. 2-2 with losses to Borg and Pettis, and they don't offer you another deal?
Maybe it depended when they fought him. I'd have to go back a little bit of time because both those guys had little spotty parts. I mean, ultimately, I mean, they were great fighters, but I think they both had some little down times too. So maybe. But still, notable fighters.
Notable names. Now, check this out. On fight day, so I leave Thursday night. I'm taking a red eye out Thursday night, getting there Friday morning. We'll be there for the weigh-ins. Fights are on Saturday. I fly home on Sunday. Saturday, the fight day, the high that day will be 35 degrees. The low will be 2 degrees.
You're gonna wear two pairs of shorts, or you're just gonna lower the other ones down below your knees?
I might have to double up on the shorts. I might have to I don't actually own pants other than my suit pants.
I should give you some of my sweatpants. I have some sweatpants you can borrow.
You know what I do? I think I do have a couple of Adidas pants. Maybe I'll throw some Adidas
there
pants
you go.
In there. I might have a couple of those. So
you should bring some fucking pants. That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's not like I'm going trekking outside or anything, but I mean, I'm excited to get there. First of all, I've never been out to that part of Canada out there on that East Coast. I've never been there, so I'm excited for that. It's actually in the Atlantic time zone, which I've never been to the Atlantic time zone before, so I'm excited for that. And the people that behind it are just super cool. All the communication I've had with them so far, very cool and just very – very passionate people. You know, it's like people that love the sport and are into this because they want to do good and they want to, you know, they want to create a nice product and create a nice platform for fighters to build themselves off on. So I'm very, very excited to get out there. So
you should put that in your contract. Get a little writer. Like, you must provide me with a pair of pants in the venue when I get there. I will not bring my own pants and I will not take the pants with me. But when I get to said venue, have pants for me, and then I will leave them. I will sign them, and I'll give them to a fan.
Oh, my God. That would be pretty funny. Like, okay, yeah, I appreciate the offer. I just need some pants, if you don't mind. I don't need some pants. Yeah. So. Good stuff. And, of course, I mean, slap fighting's on if people want to watch.
I was like, is this motherfucker not going
to
say anything?
To you?
Because I knew you just interviewed the dude. You just interviewed the president the other day, and I was like, wait, tonight's slap fight night. I have not I didn't watch it because I think it – air premiered or did it while we were in Brazil or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm wondering if I'm going to do it. I might put it on just because I know everybody was saying it was very different than how it felt in the arena. When we were there, granted we were drinking, it was fun. It was fun. I was like, man, this is fun. I would watch it. I'm interested to see how it feels watching it and whether I will do like a lot of other people that said that they've watched like 5 or 10 minutes, and they're like, okay, it just got boring and repetitive, and then they stopped watching it. So I kind of want to see how that feels.
So I watched the debut episode. First of all, let me just say, the number of nasty messages that I've gotten on social media from interviewing the president and from whatever. I mean, I'm talking about, like, mean stuff. Like, some of it were, like, there were actually, like, some really, like, cool ones where people were like, John, you know, you're a talented guy, and we appreciate you in the MMA space. Like, please don't cover this stuff. And, like, I can appreciate a message like that, right? But there were a lot of people that were just like, I mean, not the, you know.
Why did you choose to do that one?
Spoiler alert, the internet's a nasty place. No, because, you know, listen, I'll say it again here. So, to your point, I will agree with exactly what you said. I watched the debut episode, and I don't know how long this thing is going to work as a show, right? Like, The highlights are crazy, and I've always said the highlights are crazy, right? Like, I've from the ones that we would see from Eastern Europe, from the slap fighting championship, I wrote a Blue Corner post a couple years back that ran on MMA Junkie where I even said, like, I don't know why I'm watching this, but I can't turn away from it. You know what I mean? And so, like, my whole thing about this has been that, like, you know, people are just saying, I can't believe this exists and I can't believe it's happening. And I've always just kind of been of the mindset that, like, hey, man, two adults want to do something, you know what I mean? Like, and they want to get paid for it. Like, go on with it. Like, do, like, I don't feel the need to tell somebody else that they can't do something. That's always my thing. So a lot of people, I think, are like, oh man, you're a fan of this stuff. No, I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a fan. I will say the live, like I said, for years I've watched this stuff and I've been bizarrely fascinated by it. Like, I see the highlights and I'm like, oh shit, wow. You know, I mean, how many Instagram feeds or Twitter feeds are just clips of crazy shit happening in the world, whether it be, you know, Derek Lewis's he's okay, is just a whole bunch of stuff of like people getting hurt or whatever. So I don't know, I've always found it bizarrely weird, and I just haven't been of the mindset that like this shouldn't be happening, like it's this should be illegal, etc., etc. That's just always been my stance. Now, as far as the show itself, I did watch the debut, and to your point as to why I was, you know, interviewed the president, because I saw the criticism and I wanted to see how the president would address those criticisms. What do you say about defense? What do you say about this being an actual sport? So that's why I interviewed him. But I will say this, the show, the highlight moments that we saw in there are, I mean, they're still insane to me. But as a show, I don't know how it lasts. It does get pretty repetitive pretty fast. Like,
especially
even, I wasn't really paying attention by the end of it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and that's what I imagine as well. But you figure at some point, you know, there's always the, oh, any press is good press, bad press is good press still. You know, if the overall, like, comments that everybody's saying, if they're just shitting on it, you just wonder if TBS is like set a time frame to sort of reevaluate the numbers that they're getting, and would it be unheard of if they pulled it mid-season, or is there a guarantee, or maybe they said, hey, you have to, you know, it has to make it through the full season, you know, you can't cut it mid-season or something, but it just might mean that it maybe doesn't come back if the numbers, I mean, if the numbers aren't good and people are shitting on it, you know, it just makes it seem like maybe you just won't see a second season of it or something. But yeah, I mean, it's not, I can't find anything online of anybody saying like, yo, that was a hell of a lot of fun to watch, you know, like it doesn't seem, but you know, it also could be that just, you know, one particular side of the argument is a lot louder than the other, you know, and nobody's saying, you know, oh, it's, you know, it's a great refreshing new take on combat sports, you know.
It's definitely not that. Here's to your point. Yeah. The ratings were not great by any stretch. But you go look at, for instance, I'm looking right now at Power Slap's TikTok page, and I don't really do TikTok, so I don't know if I'm doing this the right way, but I'm just on their page, and I'm looking at it, and I'm just going to read off some of these numbers of videos I see: 6.8 million views, 20.4 million views, 6.8 million views, 1.2 million, 1.4 million, 3.1 million, 14.5 million, 5.6 million, 11.6 million, 2.2 million, and it goes on and on. I heard there was one that I think has like 100 million. Of one of these. And that's where I think I can't see TBS really saying we want to continue this show. But that's why I'm honestly, and that's what I asked, you know, the president, Frank Lemicella, as well. Is like, I'm surprised it was even ever made a show. Like, I thought it was always going to be this TikTok stuff where it's just, you know, social media type things. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, the nasty messages I thought were a little bit unnecessary. I do not believe this is the next great combat sport. I am not going to be supplanting my MMA coverage with Power Slap coverage. I just, until there was this Power Slap League, I got to be honest, I never saw the outrage of people saying, like when all these clips were coming in over the years, coming from Eastern Europe, coming from, you know, Jake Paul was involved. I can't remember if it was Jake or Logan Paul. It might have been Logan Paul, actually, was involved with one that was at the Arnold Sports Classic, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was involved. I didn't hear the outcry at that point of, like, this cannot be happening in the United States of America. And I guess that's all I've said. It's just like, I get all the arguments against CTE. I really do, man. And I get all the arguments of why, you know, this is dangerous or what happened. In fact, I'm looking at this now on TikTok as well. These all have little warnings on them that say the actions in this video are performed by professionals or supervised by professionals. Do not attempt. That's wild.
These fighters are being caught by the security guy that was just watching the door an hour prior to this event.
Oh, wow. Here's another warning on it. Participating in this activity could result in you or others getting hurt. Wow, that's like an even stronger
one
than the other one. Yeah,
it's an understatement.
So I don't know. I guess it's weird to me. This is not going to be supplanting my MMA coverage. I do not look at this as the next great combat sport. It's just weird to me. I guess I don't know, man. I get the arguments against it, but it just seems odd to me that like this shouldn't be happening at all when it's been happening for years and years, and I never saw that outcry before. I just wonder what makes it so strong now. So I don't know.
Oh, so you're going to be at that Derek Lewis fight that's coming up at the Apex, or are you going to be at that Power Slap instead?
I'm going to Bellator that week. Actually, I'm going to be in Inglewood, California. But yes,
you're going to be there at the Power Slap house, huh? You just stopped covering UFC events in general. I just heard that you're not even going to be on site anymore. That you're just the Power Slap tour.
I'm just all Power Slap all day.
All Power Slap.
Going to get more mean messages now. Dirty, like me, just dirty ones, mean.
That's funny.
Didn't feel like
don't read the comments. Don't read the comments.
I know. Just when I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with social media, then people just say mean things, and I'm like, why am I even on this stupid thing? I could just live with them, just go hang out with my family. So, anyway, Power Slap, it's there. Or one, or BKFC, or PFL, or Fight League Atlantic is what I would definitely recommend as I make my way out to an ice cold Moncton, Canada.
Yeah, or you could just be, you know, fun and just stay on the lovely folks on Patreon and just have a nice conversation with our lovely community there.
I need to be. That's where I need to be. I mean,
that's where you need to be.
Find folks over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. Find folks that are taking annual subscriptions so that they can save a little bit of money, because just a few bucks a month really helps us out a lot in terms of the cost. And we really do appreciate it. And of course,
yes, gotta say, big welcome back, Paul. Welcome back, Paul. Paul came back in and did the yearly, so you get a little bit of a discount on that. So
welcome back.
Not only is a great listener, he is a fiscal genius.
Welcome back. And he now has exclusive access to the and a half episodes.
And a halves.
And of course, the brand new Power Slap series that will be launched. No.
Power Slap these bitches.
Crazy. All right, listen.
Yeah. That will not be on the. That will not be. On Patreon.
That was a joke for anybody. That was a joke. All right, listen.
Now you're gonna get more comments. Now
we're gonna get more ugly messages. More ugly messages. All right, listen. I gotta run. I got things to do, and I know you got to get back to doing laundry, which you're enjoying in your week's vacation. So. I'll let you enjoy that.
A staycation.
I mean, come on. When you take a work trip to Rio, a staycation in Vegas isn't exactly like, you know.
It's not. It doesn't hit the same. It's not quite as hard. I ain't got no originals. I have to go back to the original Pabst Blue Ribbon. But I'm trying to be better and not really drink. I need to detox my liver at this point. I did pretty good. I was pretty proud. Well, I can't say I'm proud of myself because I drank a bunch, but I did work.
Hey, you don't know when you're going to be down there again. Who knows? You know, it's been 4 years since I've been down there, and I used to go down there like 7 times a year. So you never know when things are going to change. Enjoy it while you can. I'll tell everybody to enjoy this weekend. No USC event, so no and a half, but we laid out what's on the schedule in case you want to watch something. We'll be back together next week in actually, you'll be in Las Vegas. I'll be in Inglewood, California. So we'll figure all that out. We got it all. That's where power –
Remember when you used to cover UFC events on
Hey, man.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Well, you'll get to see Nolan out there. Nolan's going to be out there at that event.
Oh, is he? So, good. Good to know that. Yeah. I'll hook up and grab a frosty beverage with him and
get him on the show. So people.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I'll do that. I'll make that happen. We'll let you handle a segment from Vegas. Maybe you can get some hot tea and I'll get some Nolan. You're like, just leave me out. Looking forward to that late night USC action. We'll be on the early Bellator action.
Yeah, it's crazy. All the whole event should probably be done probably by the time we get started. I can't remember when the first fight is, but yeah, it's ridiculous.
No, I think the Bellator is going to be completely done. So if you're a hardcore MMA fan, I think next Saturday you can literally just watch the whole cards back to back and just have a marathon session of high level MMA.
Wow. Yeah.
But we'll talk about all that next week. In the meantime, I got to run. Cold Coffee's got to do laundry. So we'll just say, thanks for listening.